Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our latest edition of the Live of Birds. It's been a little while. It's been quite a lot. It's been happening. Not very much of it good. So we're going to pick through the bones of that. I have my regular contributors, Randy and Amy Kate, with me today. So we're going to kick right off with the West Ham game. So whilst it is still mathematically possible, I have to say I kind of put the title, any title bid, to bed after our loss at Crystal Palace. So in terms of this game, again, it felt like we had the bulk of the play, particularly in the first half. We didn't take our chances. We got hit with a bit of a sucker punch just before half time. Managed to get back into the lead and then couldn't hold it, which is my very quick summary. But if I start off with you, Randy, not sure how much of the game that you managed to see, but where has it all gone wrong for us? What's going on, Randy? tell me what's gone wrong.
Oh, thank you for that lovely question. Since I got the answer, I mean. If I only knew, I'd be on the phone to Klopp, you know, already, of course. So, well, I don't know. And as you said, it's been a lot going on. It's just not a lot of it being good. So I completely agree with you. I mean, since the Palace game, since United, I must admit,
yeah,
that last 2-2, it was sort of a sign, I felt. Also, the Everton match was like, because if it's any time, anywhere, you're going to show up,
yep,
it's going to be there. And for me, that was like, I felt after Fulham that, you know, of course, now they can score goals, actually, and they can score more than once. And they can, of course, not start the scoring bit in the match. Of course, they have to go behind. Mm-hmm. But since that, I felt, you know, okay, so now we actually can. You've got a chance now. If you give it all the rest of the season, if it looks like it, you know, at least. But then it doesn't. It doesn't fucking look like they give it anything. And I thought that the comment from Klopp, I just have to read it, the quote, that comment from Klopp on, let's see where it was now then. There. On the Everton match. He says, in Germany, when the crowd is not happy with the team and they think they're not giving enough, giving it all in the match, they're singing, wir wollen auch kämpfen sehen. And that translates into, I want to see you fight. And he said during the match, he wanted to sing that song. And that says a lot, doesn't it? I mean, something is definitely broken. And maybe now the fact that he's leaving has done something to them. And now it's showing. I don't know. It's just like the aftermath. And, you know, with the, it looks like they are, you know, not respecting the Klopp anymore and stuff like that. I just feel it's something is broken.
And it's a, I mean, it's very hard, Amy Kate, to see a fairy tale ending in sports. It very rarely happens. And, you know, there was a point, you know, not that long ago when we thought we might get a little bit of a fairy tale ending. Clearly we're not now. You know, sort of picking up on Randy's point, is this about, you know, players sort of, you know, losing sight of the collective and starting to worry about their individual positions with whoever the new manager is, and we'll come on to that. Is there something more fundamental? What do you think's going on?
You know, that's a really good point, you know. And I agree with Randy, there's something going on. It's like we've just lost the fight. You can see it in Klopp's face. You can see it in the team. It's like, I thought maybe it would galvanize them and let's win this for Klopp. Let's go out strong. But that's not what's happening. And we've literally blown it. It's like we've just fallen apart. And that's a good point. I mean, obviously, we don't know what's going on. But I definitely see that it's something is within them. And maybe it is, you know, do I have a job after this? You know, am I going to get transferred? Do I want to stay? I don't know. It's just, it's not the same team. And it's been, I think they said at the end of the game that we have lost, we've only won 2 in 7 games. And we've drawn or lost all the rest. And it's just like, what's happening to us? I don't know. And then the other thing is what's going on with Mo Salah? Like, what was that? I mean, I'm assuming it was probably because he was on the bench and he was pissed. But, like, the behavior was just shocking. And you're seeing that this is not the same team. And there's definitely things behind the scenes that are happening that we don't know, but we can all see it. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. It really is.
Yeah, I think there's a weird symmetry for me in some of this. When I think about when Klopp first came in, and I remember him, it was ironically the Crystal Palace game, and he talked about how lonely he felt on the sideline. I think we lost 3-2 or something. And people started going, you know, 10 or 15 minutes before the end of the game. And, you know, this was in his first season. And, you know, he sort of talked about, you know, being there to support the team. But, you know, the team having to give the supporters the belief that, you know, something would happen. And it, there's a, yeah, it's kind of a weird full circle that You know, early in his tenure, we had, you know, this thing with Crystal Palace, and then late in his tenure, the interesting thing for me is I think the vast majority of people did stay, but when we lost 1-0 to Crystal Palace, but I think slowly but surely the belief drained out of a lot of the people in the crowd. And, you know, I was there, and honestly, I thought, and we talked about it afterwards, I thought, you know, we could have played another 2 hours and I wasn't convinced we would score. It was one of those games where, you know, lucky saves ricocheted, people putting their bodies on the line, bad decisions by us. Just, yeah, it was one of the things, but it did feel kind of symbolic when you look at his overall tenure, and also that first season. I think we drew, I mean, unfortunately would have been better if we had, but I think we drew against Everton as well in that sort of period. So, you know, no, there's no fairy tale ending, but maybe there is a symmetry of what's happened. I think it's really sad. In terms of your question about Mo Salah, I think there is a massive amount of frustration for Salah.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree.
Because he's not playing well and he hasn't been scoring and he's been missing chances that over the last 5 seasons he would have absolutely buried without even blinking. So I think that there is definitely that element of it. I think he probably was pissed off that he was on the bench. But honestly, when I think about the game before the Fulham game, where, you know, he wasn't great. You never, you know, you could never say he hides. You never say he doesn't want the ball or anything. He absolutely does. But he's just not in great form. So, you know, as the manager, Klopp is sort of saying, well, you know, maybe he will have more impact coming off the bench and I'll try something a bit different because it's not working. So I don't have an issue about that. I don't have an issue to an extent with players showing a bit of frustration. It just felt like it was just really unfortunate, particularly, you know, as we're coming to the end of this era. That's what people are going to be talking about, as opposed to, you know, the last 5.5 years and the journey that they've both been on, and how, you know, Klopp turned, you know, Salah is a fabulous player. Klopp is intrinsic to the fact that he's become a world-class player as well as his hard work. And hopefully, you know, it is a spat and, you know, they won't forget everything that they've done together. But it was a bit unsavoury to see, to be honest. But yeah, well, we did all hope that there was a galvanisation coming, and for a while it felt like there was. I just don't know. That's a bit, I don't understand what.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have 3 podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own Two-Footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, there every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
There's just been such a collective drop-off that it feels very odd. I don't, you know, we don't have the answers, I don't think, between us. I wish we did, but I'm trying really hard not to get into conspiracy theories because I've seen all kinds of weird shit.
Oh, there's plenty of them out there.
So I don't, you know, I really don't want to, you know, delve into any of that stuff. I just think, you know, people are really frustrated because that, you know, things are not working out and you're coming to an end of an era. And I just think it's just making people fed up. So yeah, it's not good. And like you say, you know, for Evertonians to beat us, to, you know, basically put the tin hat on our any title ambition we have and pretty much secure their safety, it's like all of their Christmases come at once. You know, they won't be playing in Bramley Dock in the Championship then.
It's mad. Oh my god, I know.
So, I mean, there's been just to sort of finish this off, and I'm sort of interested, Randy or Amy, getting your thing. There's also a couple of comments from Van Dyke, talking about, you know, sort of, you know, people not living up to their standards or their whatever. And it, like I said, it just, you know, we generally do not do any washing of dirty linen in public. And it just feels, yeah, I don't know that this, like I said, it's, there's just a weird vibe around the whole thing at the moment. And
yeah,
it's such a contrast to when, you know, after the first announcement and you know, most if not all of the players sort of coming out and sort of saying, you know, we just, you know, we need to focus on our job, you know, we focus on do, you know, we've all got targets, we're here as a team, and you know, and all of the academy kids, you know, kind of Klopp's the only manager that they've known, and they're going, you know, we want to do everything we can, you know, to win it for the gaffer, and kind of here we are. So yeah, I can't work out what's happened in the intervening basis, but we are going to get a new manager, and it looks like it's going to be Mr. Arne Slot. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation or not. From Feyenoord.
We'll have to learn.
Yes. Yeah, somebody said we're going from Kloppo to Slotto. Oh,
it doesn't sound good.
No.
I have heard a few little funny things about...
Yeah.
I hope he slots right in, you know, just like, oh, here we go.
I know. I how long do you think before the first, you know, if we have a good win, that the first headline will be slot machine?
Oh, oh dear.
You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah. I know.
It's not good, yeah. You know.
It's not good.
No, what it's funny, though. it's like a bad dad joke.
Yeah, it really is. So one of my friends actually put a little bit on about this guy, and I thought it was quite interesting. So I'm just trying to find the article to give you a little summary. But what they said about, one of the things they said about Feyenoord and Arne Slot was that when he went there, basically Feyenoord had no money and basically sold the whole team between reaching a European final and then winning the league. They had 17 new players arrived, and Slot seemed to improve them all, and within 10 months had won the title. And he said, that's not just good management, that's remarkable. And that was from an article on the site that he writes for. And I thought, well, that's an interesting take, because we're obviously going to have a new structure. So Michael Edwards is back as, you know, I don't know what his new title is, but he's sort of football operations global or something. And then obviously we've got the guy who's come in from Bournemouth. And it looks like Slot will, as we sort of discussed on previous pods, Slot will be a head coach as opposed to a manager. But it sounds like he's used to working within, you know, fairly sort of tight monetary restrictions and also improving players. So if that's the model that we're going for, what do we think, Randy?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, of course, very surprised since we all thought it was going to be first Alonso and then Amorim, and then this Arne Slot comes in from the, you know, straight in from the sideways and all here almost straight away. But that's typical Liverpool as well, though, isn't it? I mean, we usually don't hear it until it happens, and I kind of like that. But the thing about Arne Slot, I mean, in Norwegian, Arne is a very common name for a sort of very boring, a bit stupid man. So that's the number one.
As in John Arne Riise.
Exactly. There you go. And then he looks a bit like another guy just up the road that is not very good at managing handling players, you know, which is not good at all. The good thing, though, apparently, is that he is, as you said, I mean, he's used to working within quite sort of narrow frame of money or almost nothing at all and making all the players better. And he used the kids. He's very good with people, apparently. And he's calm and fun with the press. I mean, what more do you want? So he kind of looks like on the paper, if he didn't come from that league, he would all be excited, I'm sure. It's just that we've never heard of him. And that doesn't help, does it? But I've been watching a bit, you know, lately, and you can see that they are actually, you know, playing very good football. And we don't have to switch the whole team around to live up to three in the back and stuff like that. But apparently he could give some players, we might be able to play with two at the top, so 4-2-3-1. And that might actually suit some of our players.
Hello there. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to watch the Liverpool match? You've got your mates round, you've got your drinks, you've got your snacks, you're all set to go. It's going to be a good day. And then you find out, oh, the game's not actually being broadcast in your region. There's the heartbreak, there's rage, there's despair, there's fury, you're upset, you're looking for a solution. Well, we've teamed up with NordVPN to bring you a game-changing solution. That's right. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country where the game's on live. It's like having a global ticket to sports, TV shows, and movies from all around the world. And here's the best part. If you go to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index, you'll score the best discount on your NordVPN plan. Plus, our link gives you 4 extra months free on the 2-year plan. And that's what we call a winning streak. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what if it's not for me? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not getting the use of it? Don't worry about it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's totally risk-free. I've been using NordVPN to catch all the Liverpool matches and TV shows that I'd normally miss out on. It's totally transformed both my weekends and my TV watching. And not only that, not only does it give me access to stuff from all around the world with the click of a button, it keeps all my data safe. It means that the miscreants, the ne'er-do-wells, what my grandmother would have called scallywags, who lurk on the internet to try and steal your information, can't get your information. NordVPN keeps it safe for you. So don't let geo-restrictions bench you this season. Visit nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and make sure that you're in the game, no matter when or where it's being played. Remember, it's not just sports, It's your all-access pass to binge-worthy TV shows and blockbuster movies from all around the globe. NordVPN literally unlocks the world for you and keeps you safe from the world. So don't miss out. Head over to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and let the fun and games begin.
Yes.
Yeah.
It might.
It might.
I think we will see an evolution of the 4-3-3 plot has been playing. I think we will definitely see that. I also think that there are going to be changes to our playing personnel over the off season. I don't know what it's going to look like. You know, we'll be going, we'll sell Salah and we'll do this and we'll do that. I genuinely have no idea. I mean, the fact is that if we do sell Salah, then, you know, the fact is that will enable, significant reinvestment in the playing squad. But we do have a very young squad, outside of, you've got Robertson, you've got Van Dijk, you've got Salah, and probably, one or two up. I mean, Alisson, I think, is 30. But, Elliot's 21, Gakpo's 21, 22, Gravenberch's 21. It sort of take Endo out of it. Szoboszlai is 23, Callister's 24, Trent's 26. So, Konate's 23, et cetera, et cetera. And if we get, Joe Gomez is only 25, 26. Yeah. So the sort of the nucleus of that side is pretty young, and they've got, they've got a big ceiling that they can hit. But, when you look at Salah and potentially Van Dijk, those could be two people who don't start with us next season. Mm. I mean, I would be surprised if we lost both of them, if I'm honest. And I don't want to lose either, by the way. Let me be absolutely clear.
No.
But I'm trying to be realistic about stuff here. That, I think if we had won more trophies, and I think if we had maintained our title challenge right up until the end and potentially won it, then I think Salah would have gone, but with everybody's kind of he's won two titles, he's done X, Y, and Z. Whereas now I think he may still end up going. I don't know. But it'll just be a little, there'll be that sadness around it, as neither he nor Klopp really should have gone out like this if he ends up going in the off season as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I find it a bit strange. I mean, Virgil was asked about a comment after the Arne Slot news, and he was like a bit weird. And that is a bit dangerous, isn't it? I mean, it's about, he's apparently one of the best managers in Holland at the moment. And, we'll see, and stuff like that. He didn't seem enthusiastic at all, so I don't know. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, he's quite laid back as a person, but also, the Dutch do, they sometimes do have a little bit of drama between themselves.
Yeah.
So, you never can tell. I mean, Amy Kate, what's your take on what looks like our new manager from Feyenoord?
Well, so I have a Dutch friend who's actually a Feyenoord fan. And of course, when it got announced, I was waiting for the call. And Mark was like, I want to tell you about him, because he knows, he lives in the United States, but he's, follows his team. It's been his team since he's a kid. It's from where he's from. And there was a couple of things that I remember that just kind of stood out. And one of those things was the money. He's used to, and you had mentioned this, he's very used to being able to get the best out of players that weren't a whole lot of money. And he's very good with the budgets. And he said that the highest transfer fee was $35 million, which is kind of laughable considering what we're playing with, you know, in the Premier League, even though Liverpool's not one of the highest, you know, some of these other teams. So I think that's a good fit. And Edwards really has, is a stats guy and really kind of pays attention to those kind of things. So I think they'll get on really well. And he wants to be here. He's come out and said, I want to be the manager of Liverpool. And I think that's, you know, one thing that really, you know, he's gonna give it his all, and he's all in. And I think that's a positive thing. I don't know much about him except for what, you know, people are saying. I talked to a couple of other Dutch friends because, you know, I'll be honest, I'd never heard of him before because I don't really pay attention to those leagues. But, you know, he's not Klopp. How do you replace him? It's nearly impossible. But I'm excited to see what happens because Klopp is leaving, like it or not, and it is what it is. So, yeah.
I think they're definitely going for evolution rather than revolution. So I think he does. I don't watch the Dutch Eredivisie often, if at all. So I can't really comment on it. I only what I've read around his side and how they play an attacking style of football, and you know some similarities in terms of his approach to you know some of the things that Klopp's done. And like I said, if you look at the age of the squad, you look at what he's potentially inheriting from Klopp, it's very, very different than what Klopp inherited when he came in. And I know, you know, on anniversaries over the last few years, you know, you've seen things on social media where they say, you know, this was Klopp's first team, and you've got, you know, Mignolet and Skrtel and Jay Spearing and a whole load of different, I think maybe Nathaniel Klein was in that team and whatever. So, you know, not terrible players, but when you look at where from those beginnings to where we got to, because, you know, we had, you know, I think Sturridge was playing and what have you. So there were some really good players in there, but it was a very mixed bag of talent is what I would say. And what the new manager is getting from Klopp is a very different it's a very different inheritance than what Klopp got when he came into the club.
I
think that's positive.
Well, you know what I mean, actually there's not a single player now that with the club that when Klopp started, because
Gomez, you know, wasn't he there?
Oh, wait, I'm wrong. You know what? You're right. Gomez is the only one left because, you know, Hendo's gone now and Firmino, you know, was gone the end of last season. But they were the only two that except for Gomez, and I apologize, I forgot that he was there first. Obviously, Trent, you know, and I'm not going to count the academy kids because Klopp's the one that decided to bring them up into the first team. So that just, to me, that doesn't count because he chose to bring them up opposed to keep them there. But everybody's gone. But I mean, also, let's look how long ago it was. I mean, that makes sense too. That's kind of natural for players to move on. But it'll be interesting to see. And you know, who knows, but because it's Slot and it being the Dutch connection, and I could be really off base here, maybe more wishful thinking, that maybe Van Dijk will want to stay. But I guess only time will tell. And I would like to see, I don't really want Mo to go. I know there's been a lot of talk, go sell him now. Blah, blah, blah. The way I look at it, I mean, if a player wants to go, just go. But I don't want him to go on a free. So either offer him another contract, whatever you want, pretty much. Obviously, within reason, but
or just sell him and get the money for him and rebuild. And, you know, we're going to have a, we're going to have to rebuild anyway. I mean, we're losing, you know, after losing Klopp, I mean, it's always a rebuild when a new manager comes in. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is such a depressing.
It's the backroom staff as well.
Yeah, they're all. So, my understanding is that nobody has. I know that Pep wants to leave because he wants to move on and manage.
Yeah.
But nobody's, and I don't blame them. But the club can't, and I don't, you know, I don't have any sources. This is just, you know, on the street kind of thing. But the club can't guarantee that they have a job. So everybody's looking for another job and wants to go because, you know, what are you going to do? Sit around and wait and then it's too late?
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.